Okay, so we're on the Bevan Sea of Defiance tonight. Just again, Ben Stern is also sponsoring the Daf Yomi tonight on the occasion of the Yahrzeit of his father, Daniel Ben Binyamin. And then also Aziz Basileli is also sponsoring it this whole week for a Refu Shleima of Moshe Ben Asnath. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. So we're on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. So we're on the third line. Okay, the last word in line is Amar. Everybody with me? So Amar Ravana and Amar Shmuel. Ravana says in Shmuel, it sounds like the statement is that if you have money, then an apotropos, in other words, an administrator from the Beis Din is handling the money of Yatomim, of orphans, and nevertheless, the statement is that you're allowed to lend that money out with for interest. That's the way it sounds like from the Gemara. So Amar Rav Nachman, Bishum Nachman said to Ravanan, who had put the halacha in Shmuel, because they're Yatomim, meaning they're below the age of Bar Mitzvah, so we let them do what would otherwise be prohibited. In other words, we're going to let them benefit from an Iser. In other words, we're lending money on behalf of the Yatomim for interest, and because the Yatomim, they're allowed to get the benefit from interest, good question mark. So the Gemara says, Yad made to Afli, love Didu. He says, Lizlu Batar Shukayu. So he says that the Yatomim who are consuming or getting the benefit of things that really shouldn't be theirs, meaning the benefit from the interest, Lizlu Batar Shukayu. They should follow the ones who depart them, meaning they should,
That's a way.
right. It sounds right. If you look at Rashi, the fourth point, narrow line, Batar Shukayu, Farvi, and the Beda Kvaro. So Amar Le, so this is Rav Nachman who had heard this halakha from Ravanan. He says, Amar Le, Ein liyezu gufa du'uvda hechi hava. In other words, I can't believe that Shmuel would have actually made that statement. I don't think you're quoting a statement from Shmuel. This Tama, you extrapolated it out from an incident that took place. What was the incident? So Amar Le, again, Rav Anan had quoted Shmuel. So Amar Le, hu duda ibnei mar ukva. There was a certain cauldron, a copper cauldron, that was the property of Bnei Mar Ukva. They're the Yatomim, and Mar Ukva had passed away. The Hava Bei Mar Shmuel was in the house of Mar Shmuel, meaning Shmuel was taking care of the cauldron on behalf of the Yatomim. Takil v'yahivle, takil v'shakile. So when people would lease out the cauldron, he would weigh the cauldron and give it to the lessees. Then he would weigh the cauldron and take it back from them. Shakil Agra, he would take a rental fee, then a Shmuel would. Shakil Pachta, but in addition to the rental fee, he would take a fee for the amount that the cauldron had been reduced by weight, and it was a result of it. So the Gemara says, or this is Rav Nachman saying, he Agra lo Pachta. If he's taking a rental fee, he shouldn't be taking the fee for the reduction in the weight. In other words, the rental fee is to cover for damages that occur. That's the way the Gemara takes it. So if he's charging a rental fee, he shouldn't be taking the a fee for the reduced metal. He's talking to him, he's taking a fee for that. The lottery shouldn't be taking the rental fee. So if he's taking both, the Gemara is figuring he's taking ribbit on behalf of the Atonement. That's the way the Gemara assumes. It's interest on behalf of the Atonement. He's taking, in other words, he's giving them something and getting more back than he should be. That's the way,
That's what I'm on so.
right? That's the way Rabbanan assumed from the conduct. So Amar Le, so Rav Nachman says Rabbanan, Tiha, I feel this man the way you've described it, even if the Yatomim would be people with beards, in other words, even adults could do that. Damakabli Natasha, he says the Kama Damakli Natasha Batsir Dame, that there's a different, in other words, he's charging them a rental fee that indeed does cover the loss of the metal, but in addition to which, every time you heat up the cauldron, the metal deteriorates.
Here.
Right. So, in other words, there's the metal that's disappeared as a result of the lease arrangement, and that he's entitled to charge a rental fee for. The other fee was for the deteriorating metal that exists.
I need to charge
Right. So he wasn't taking in any way anything with interest with that. Okay. Let's just see the Rashi in this, then we'll pause. We'll take some questions. If you look at the Rashi, the fifth narrow line, Gufa de Ubda, Shura'ith Mar Shmuel no hekain. You saw Mar Shmuel, conducting himself in a certain fashion. She added to Zopishmo, you testifying in his name that that's the way he held. It's clear that it must not have been a member that Shmuel said. He says, "Beferush, Elamachal, you saw like certain conduct. You assume that that was they was." And then I'll skip the next few. But then in Takil B'Shakile, this is around the 10th hour line in Rashi. Hayamaskirulachirim, he Shmuel would lease out the cauldron to other people. B'Shakla. And wait, when he would give it to them, the chozer kabel mishkal. Then wait, when he would get it back, and then if the amount of copper was, had lessened, mishamun lo demei chesrona, yevle demei agar. And this is the way that Rav Adam was looking at it, that they're paying them both. So, all right, this we have. Okay, so 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. All right, I think we got the basic idea. Okay, so who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Oh, you see, you have an advocate on your behalf,
Thank
Michael.
God. God bless you.
All right, Michael just walked in again, so we'll do a brief review from Michael. So the Gemara quotes the halacha, Rabbanan does, the name of Shmuel, that if you have Maor of Yitomim and Apotropos is taking care of the estate of Yitomim, let's say the Morish left $100,000. That according to Rabbi Anan, Shmuel said you could lend that money out at interest even to Jews. And the Yitomim were less lower than Bar Mitzvah. So that's what he says. So Rabbi Nachman says what? So because they're less than Bar Mitzvah, so I could give them like the product, the benefit of this little sort of got gains. And again, another idea that I saw, it's that we're afraid that they'll end up taking interest even when they get older. But how can we do that? So he says, I don't think that Shmuel ever made the statement he did. I think you must have extrapolated this from an incident that occurred. Tell me what the incident was. So he says, indeed, Shmuel was taking care of a cauldron, a copper cauldron on behalf of Yitomim, and Shmuel would lease out the cauldron to other people. But in addition to leasing it out, he would charge them a fee. He would charge an additional fee for damage to the cauldron. So normally, if you're having the rental fee, that covers the damages. And if he's doing an additional fee, that with the Lechora, we think is like interest. That's the way it comes out from the Gemara. So he says, no, you misunderstood the whole incident. In other words, the rental fee, that's to cover the amount of metal that got destroyed, by their usage. The other fee is because the metal that remains gets deteriorated as a result of the usage. So he wasn't in any way taking interest. He was just, charging what he's entitled to charge. Okay, let's see further.
However, thought
Right. He, in other words, no. He again, it was no. He was taking care. This belonged to
Yutomium. What did he think?
He was thinking that on behalf of Yutomium, who were minors, that you could take interest. That's what, it, as a result of you. No, even interest on a deraisa level. That's what he thought. Because they're not chayiv in mitzvot, and he thought that the apotropos, in this case Shmuel, was taking interest on their behalf. He thought that that's permissible. Again, these are below bar mitzvah. These are, they're not chayiv in mitzvot. So that's they're below bar mitzvah. They're not chayiv. Oh, you mean they should be chayiv in lav if you wanted to. Yeah. So the Gemara says.
It's also two-sided. Not
yeah,
only
saying
the person
even
they're charging,
to charge.
The
you mean
person is
even
the other side.
you mean even even in the best of circumstances, well, how could you assume that they were
Exactly.
today was taking interest? Yeah. So the with the lav, so well, in a way, that's the question that he's being asked. So when you say lavim, it's like the in other words, the boy can't do an Easter himself, like the gufo, but he's assuming that. With the mamon, you could. That's the way he was thinking. In other words, like gufo, like to eat treifas and lakal Shabbos not. But he's thinking like with the money, he thought that you could. I don't know what to say. That's the way Lechora it sounds like. But all right, maybe you'll find something. But you'll see something there. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, now, all right, when Ayin Amin Aleph around 15 lines down. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're up to Amar Rabba Bar Shila. Okay, please. Okay. The wrong page. Yeah, I okay. All right, you'll get the right page. Then. Okay, here's the I.
A2.
Okay. Okay, it's right here. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rab Chista, Rami La, Amar Rab Silka Bar Chama, Amar Rab Sheshet." Maushli told him, "In Tarla Habotam Korba Safar Barakut Lehevsei." So now this is getting to the point thing that you were sort of alluding to, Michael. Rav Sheshet is saying that if you have money that belongs to the Yitomim, you lend it, Karol B'Sach HaBarach L'Hevsei would be, let's say I lend it, I give it to somebody, and the deal is we're going to split profits, but with losses, you have to, your loss is in your corner. So when I was giving this money, so I'm definitely getting my money back. In other words, I'm giving you, you know, $10,000 to invest. I'm definitely getting $10,000 back.
Plus.
But, and then if there's income, then we're splitting the income. So that's Asra on a Rabbanan level. That would be Avak Ribis, Asra on a Rabbanan level. But Rav Sheshet says, for Yitomim, you're allowed to do it that way. We'll see. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, so it means that the Tomim eased up the Dinim for Yitomim. He says, Tan Rabbanan, Tarab L'Safar Barachot HaHefzeh Brasha. So the Braisa teaches, for a regular person, if you engage in such a practice, which is Karab Saka Rakul Hefse, the same setup, you're called the Rasha. Karab Hefse, Rakul Saka, or Fasi. If it's the other way around, you say, if there's any loss, that's on me. Any profits will split. So, in other words, so that's you know, Karab, that's Karab Hefse, Rakul Saka, he's a Fasi. He's very pious. That has no, it's very distant from anything with interest. He says, Karab Lazelzeh, let's say, I have the arrangement, I say that any losses, you know, I'll accept 90% of losses, 90% of the profits. It would be Karab L'Zavzeh. Or Rachel L'Zavzeh. Or I'll accept, you know, 10% of losses, 10% of the profits, but they're both equal. Zumi Mida Kolozav. That's a regular person. Okay? I'm going to Rabbi Rab Yosei. Hani Zuzit Yatne Hechi Abginlu. So Rabbi says, Rab Yosei, what is it correctly? How should we handle money that belongs to the Yitomim? Amarlay, Morfina Lahu Beitina. So at least in my art scroll, it said that we would convene a best. I didn't think that was the correct shot, and that the obviously didn't translate that way either. I mean, we would deposit it with the best. See, motive me like to put the money there, or they're assuming at least the art scroll I saw. Is your art scroll translate that way? Yeah, I don't think that's the correct shot. Or I don't know. Morfina Lahu, they're assuming Lahu she based it.
But you go with the money for that too.
Yeah, but he says Morfina Lahu. Okay, anyway. So, all right, I hear both shotgun. Anyway, Mofilu Bini, we pause with Bezden. Yavilu Zuzu Zuzu. And then we'll allocate, on a need to basis. Well, in other words, let's say the father left $100,000. So we're going to put the $100,000 under the care of the Bezden and dole out the money a little bit of time for the money, for the food. So, Amar Lay, so Robert's Rav Yosei. Hello, nice idea, but money's going to disappear. So how would you handle this situation? So Amar Lane, but King Davro, Dava Priya. I would look for somebody, or we should look for somebody, who has Dava Priya. Dava Priya means like little pieces of gold, little flakes of gold. The idea being that that's something that would never be, that he's got money, he has assets, and the assets you have are definitely not a picado from somebody else. In other words, nobody would ever, there's no simanim on the dava pricha, so nobody would leave that as a picado. Then akinan dava mine, and we take the gold from him, although Rabbi Levi was quoting, I think, the Marashal said it's not necessary to take the gold from him. He's got the gold, we'll leave it there. Yavina lahu nehele, karol l'sachar v'rakol hatsi. And then we would, you know, give it to this person to invest it, or leave, we would give it to the person, and it'll be invested with him. In other words, we'll have the situation, like we said, where any losses, the money comes back, and the profit gets shared with the Yitomim, which would normally be prohibited on a Rabbanan level, but with the Yitomim, we're going to do it. That's what he says. About the Bar Masugim Lao, but if it's just an identifiable object, let's take Rolex watches from him, we wouldn't. Then we pick out on him, because maybe it's not his, right? But Atmare Yavsiman, and the true owner's going to come, and he's going to take it, and then there's no security for the atonement. So we need security for the atonement. That's what Rabbi says. So Amravashi, it's the night. So Amravashi, Tinach Mishtachet Gavra, like Dava Pricha, that works out well. So he says that's good if you find somebody who has Dava Pricha. He's got this like gold plates or gold pieces. So what are you going to do? Not everybody's got those pieces of gold. So what's going to happen? All the money going to just pay. So Ella Amar Ravashi, Chazinan Gabra, the Meshapa Nisse. You look for somebody, he's got assets that are stable. Meshapa means like quiet. In other words, he's stable. He's a Uman Haman, and he's a trustworthy person. Meshapa Dina Doraita, he's Shomer Torah Mitzvot. Loma Kabal Shams the Rabbanan, he's never been placed in Nidui. And then we've given the money in Bezdin, and the Bezdin would, you know, hold him responsible. And if you look at the last line, two lines around, so if worse comes to worse, we the Bezdin will seize his assets, and we'll make, we'll stipulate with him, the money will be invested with you, and it's going to be, you know, Karl Masaka, Rock the Collapse. In other words, you have to, the home can't lose the money with it. In other words, so if we're giving you the money and you're going to be the worker making the money, so so you have to indemnify the home from any losses, but split any profits with them. And, okay, so again, so it's coming out that with the Yitomim, the money basically is going to be invested on a way that would be prohibited on the Rabbanan level, but with the Yitomim, we're relaxing the Dinim, and you know, Karo Glasaka, Rafa Flahev said. In other words, they're not going to lose money, but they'll split the income. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we didn't?
The way they relax the dinim for you.
It's not what we would do a heteriska for regular people, but I wouldn't call it a heteriska, but we're permitting this, what would, it's really Abba Gribis. In other words, so we're permitting Abba Gribis for the atonement, that's what we're really saying, we're permitting Abba Gribis. Okay,
well, what's the other thing?
What, again, why? It could be that he wants to do chesed, but it could also be sometimes even rich people need more assets they want to invest in
all the risk.
It's taking on, right, it's taking on, it's right, also, it's, he's saying, you're right about that. Okay, all right, what do you want to say, Fern, or whoever else wants to speak?
Is there a parallel leniency for an almana?
No, I don't think there is a parallel for an almana. In other words, the Amman is going to handle her own money. It's only the Tomim, the best thing that's involved with appointing an apotropist, an administrator. But an Amman is a different.
It's okay. Also.
All right, any other questions?
Also, and I did.
What?
No, I'm saying the idea is that it's also to protect the guy who's taking care of the
Yisrael. I can't hear you. I'm
saying the guy who's taking care for the assignment, that he shouldn't look bad in the eyes of everyone that he lost money for the assignment. So at least they would break even and they can make money if the thing is a good venture.
Did you hear that?
So you're saying you're asking a question or you're explaining?
No, I'm saying I'm trying to justify what they're doing.
Right. All right. All right.
By having the apotropist, the guardian, look decent in the eyes of everybody else, because if he loses the money for the assignment, he's going to look very bad.
Right. Well, he's going to have to indemnify them. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. All right. No, but not tomorrow. Let me just do a little piece here. Now, all right. This is a little piece from the Daf Yomi Digest. The Gemara discusses the permissibility of lending the money of orphans for interest. Along these lines, the Pichei Tshuva cites Magen Avraham, who talks about borrowing money with interest for the sake of obtaining food for Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah suggests, in the name of earlier authorities, that this applies when the lender is a Gentile, or perhaps even from a Jew, using a permitted method of borrowing money with interest. So, there's no dispensation, even though you need the money for Shabbos, there's no dispensation from the Din Meribbis. A more common application of the question of borrowing money with interest for the sake of a mitzvah arise in the context of publishing Sfarim. It is not uncommon for authors to give thanks to those who assisted in the publication of the Sefer, and oftentimes they mention the people who loan them money. Is this practice prohibited? In other words, let's assume it's a loan. Let's say, you know, a person is writing a Sefer, and he needs $10,000 to publish the Sefer, and then, you know, let's say he loans them the $10,000. So then, you know, they'll have a whole page, you know, thank this person, well, you know, God bless them. So is this practice prohibited, since it involves the borrowers returning to the lender more, i.e. the public expression of thanks, than the money that was borrowed, or is it permitted since it only involves rabbinic interest for the sake of a mitzvah? So he's assuming he's assuming that if it's interest and it's the underlying mitzvah, he assumes that it's only the Rabbanan. I don't know where that's coming from. But he said that's the underlying idea. So the Erev Shai rules that the practice is prohibited since it violates the prohibition of ribbit devarim, verbal interest. The ruling of the Ramah that permits borrowing money with interest for the sake of a mitzvah. So he didn't explain it so clearly before. Yeah, so apparently there's Ramah, the way he's quoting here, that says you could borrow money with interest for the sake of a mitzvah. I have to see this Ramah. So we don't have this farm down here with us, but he says it's limited to a case where it's necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah. In this case, however, there's no allowance to thank the lender at the beginning of the sefer, since the mitzvah published in the sefer was accomplished without having to give interest to the lender. In other words, it sounds like if I need the interest in order to do the mitzvah. If it's water under the bridge, I don't need it. So the Darkei Tshuva cites authorities who permit the practice. Their rationale is that part of the intent to publicize the name of the lender is to inspire others to follow his example. Thus, it is considered as though the loan with interest is being done so the mitzvah could be performed. The Darkei Tshuva writes that, in his opinion, this answer is forced. Ramosha Feinstein writes that what is permitted is to publicize that Hashem will bless this lender for the mitzvah that he performed by assisting the publication of the Sefer. Since the statement of fact intended to inspire others to also assist in the publication of Sefarim rather than expression of gratitude permits. So he's saying the way to do it is the guy loans the money for the Sefer. You say Hashem should bless this person for, you know, since he supported this mitzvah project. Then it's saying that's the emes, Hashem will bless him. So I'm just saying what's emes. In other words, I'm not thanking him, but I'm saying, you know, Hashem will bless him. All right. Yeah. All right. Let's go further in the Gemara. But that Ramah, I didn't see that Ramah inside, but, well, I don't know. I don't make you go down, but it's, we'll see. Anyways, it's okay. Kufay and Bay, see. All right. You want to go get it? If I wait. All right. What am I going to do with the guys while we're waiting?
What am I getting?
Okay. So, wait. What are you getting? So, you're getting Yoredeya. It has to be Siman Kufay and Bay. So, that would be, I think it's Chelik Bay's. If you get Yoredeya, Chelik Bay's. Okay. All right. So Yosef went to get a safer. We're upstairs in the shul. Meanwhile, Seth's going to ask a question. Go ahead.
It's discussing this Swan by Zell.
No, we didn't get up to that yet. We're going to talk to him when that's the next mission. So wait till I explain it. And then we'll be okay. All right. Any other questions from the Zoom crowd? All right. Well, we can turn the page while we're waiting to Yosef. All right. I tell you, I'll do one line from the next Mishnah, and then when he comes up, I'll go over it again, okay? So the next Mishnah, and this is what Seth was referring to. So it says, Manitin aim a kablon son barzel trail nishu rivet. So son barzel is that a person gives money to, we discussed it. In other words, the lender financier, okay, good. Okay, let's take a look. Okay, so we'll find this, correct? Okay, let's take a look here. So, if I here's what Ramah says. Yeah, this is Vigesh Matsirim, the Halvodos Svarim, or Makomot Beta Knesset. Some are Matsir, like to loan money, like since the Svarim, publication Svarim, or Makomot Beta Knesset, the Lay Sheva Leham, I think the Blown Achaita, the Havi the Surah Mitzvah, the Tel Avot Beribit the Surah Mitzvah. It sounds like a loan for Svarim. Or alone, it sounds like somebody wants to, you know, sounds like somebody wants to have a place in the shul, not in the shul, and the lay shape aleihem. So I'm not clear on what the loan would be. It sounds like maybe he's loaning money for the spot, and he's
going to get the money back. It sounds like he's loaning money to the shul, maybe the construction of seats or spots.
And they're letting him sit there, and he'll get the money back. That's the way it sounds like. Yeah, some permit that. He says, David Tzorach Mitzvah, until about Ribbon Tzorach Mitzvah. So the Ramah says that if it's a Tzorach Mitzvah, you could lend money with interest for a Tzorach Mitzvah. So it's the Trubas Maharil. The The tov lachmir la sop in the chayta. This is better to be machmir la sop in the chayta in the chayta, where you know a certain amount is being subtracted from the loan for the benefit you got. So the only thing is like this. So I'm not clear on what the kula is sorach mitzvah. Why that gets a pass with the interest. I'm not so clear. I'm not so clear on that. Okay. All right. I'm going to go on to the next mission now. Okay. So on Ayin Amud Beis Manitin. Thank you for getting the safer. Okay. Manitin. Ema kabam son barzel mi Israel neishu ribbit. So son barzel is what we just discussed. Right. Right. Where somebody gives loans money or finances a project. But he, the one who's giving the goods, is guaranteed no loss. In other words, he's guaranteed that he won't lose anything.
No gain.
So let's say it could be, let's say, a sheep. So this is the way Rav Kahati had it. Let's say I give 100 sheep to Seth, and I appraise it as one seller for each sheep. And then whatever, income of, let's say you have wool and blado, that will split. In other words, the wool and the offspring will split. But if there's loss, if the sheep dies or injured or something like that, that's on you. That would be sown barzel. So it's called sown barzel, iron sown, because I get back my investment. So here, that which we said is good for the Yitomim is not good for a regular Jew. So ein mekabim sown barzel Yisrael, they should ribbit. That's ribbit. That's prohibited. Aval mekabim sown barzel menachum. If it's a non-Jew, the sown barzel arrangement is okay. Then, below ben mehen, umal ben otan beribbit. You can borrow from Gentiles, or you could lend to them for interest. And similarly, if you have a ger toshav. Now, ger toshav, we usually say it's somebody who, a non-Jew, who accepts upon the seven mitzvot bei Noach. And Rav Leibowitz has mentioned today that there's a shita in Remeir and Sanhedrin. He says it's just the non-Jew agrees not to do a avodah zarah. He's also called a ger toshav, just one mitzvah. But anyway, the ger toshav is because he was saying, we let him live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, mal v'yisrael mal tav shalakum. So the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to explain what this means, but it's going to come out, let's say, a Jew borrowed money from a Gentile with interest, and now that Jew can transfer the loan to his friend. In other words, let's say Reuven borrowed $10,000 from Ivan, the non-Jew, and now Reuven wants to give the $10,000 to Shimon, who will assume the whole loan and the payment loan with interest back to Ivan. In other words, Reuven owes Ivan. So, but Reuven wants to give the money to Shimon. And now Shimon will assume the loan and Shimon will pay Ivan interest. So it says that Malvei Yisrael Ma'otav Shel Akum Midat Akum. If the Goy, he's good with it, that's permissible. And we don't view it as if Reuven lent money with interest. Then he says, Aval Lo Midat Yisrael. This is going to be where, let's say, the Jew lent money to a non-Jew with interest. The Jew lent money to a non-Jew with interest, you could do, and now the non-Jew wants to transfer the debt to a Jew. So Reuven loans money to Ivan for interest, and now Ivan wants to transfer the debt to Shimon. That's not good. That you can't do. But you'll see tomorrow's daf, so tomorrow we'll explain up the touch of the whole thing. Okay? Okay, now, the Gemara says, now, Lameimra, the Rishut to the Mutabel Taimah. Now, it sounds like from Son Barzel, you're saying it's ribbit. Ribbit means that it's a loan. In other words, ribbit means it's prohibited. Now, a loan, the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, is bilbul lahutzad. A loan is given to spend money. That means it's in my rishus. I own the money. Right. You're loaning me the money. I own the money. So the Gemara says, the name of the rishut the makabel taimah. So the implication is, if I give Seth all these sheep in Son Barzel arrangement, so now Seth has got it. Ramina, we post a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechet Bechorot. A mekabel tzon barzel min anachrim, lot of pter min a bechora. If a Jew accepts, let's say, sheep from a non-Jew in a tzon barzel arrangement, so the mothers are definitely patur. In other words, if an animal is owned by a non-Jew, there's no din a bechora. In other words, even if the Jew has a partnership with a non-Jew. But the Mishnah says, a mekabel tzon barzel min anachrim, lot of pter min a bechora, not. In other words, the mothers are exempt from the Bechora, and even the offspring that are born, and we split it up. In other words, let's say I give them 100 sheep, and then they have 100 offspring. So I'm going to split up that's our income. So I keep half the offspring, and half is assigned to him.
But even the blado that I keep are patur from Bechora. So again, we were saying that if it's stone barzel, the recipient owns it. In other words, he owns it, because that's the implication of the Mishnah. But the Mishnah in Mesechet Bechora seems to say that the donor, or the financier, who's an Anjou, he owns it. That's why he's all exempt. No, you know, he not only, even the sheep that are born, you know, he has like hand in it. That's what it sounds like. So Amar Abaye Lokasha. So Abaye says there's no contradiction between the Mishnah Mesechet Bechora and our Mishnah here. Hadma Kabbalah owns the Bezola. The Mishnah Mesechet Bechora, and this is somewhat difficult in the Gemara, will explain, where the non-Jew, notwithstanding the fact that it's called the Son Barzel arrangement, the non-Jew is responsible for losses and depreciation of the sheep. So he's not off the hook. In other words, he's on the hook somewhat. Hadlo Kabbalah owns the Bezola. We're in our Mishnah not. But our Mishnah, indeed, it's the recipient. In other words, he's hands off. In other words, it's yours. You have to give back to me. I'm entitled my investment back, but that's on your head. So that's your sheep. But in the case of Mishnah Bechorot, he, the one, the financier who is the non-Jew, he accepts upon himself responsibility for, you know, accidents and depreciation. Amrei Rava. So Rava said to Abaye, Itkabalei Mara owns Zola. If the financier, the non-Jew, accepts upon himself onus and depreciation, Son Barzel, Kari, that you find Son Barzel, that's like an oxymoron. Son Barzel is that I'm never going to lose money. The way you got it, I will lose, could lose money with that. He says, Va'od, in addition to which, Adtani Seif of a Makabin Son Barzel Mena Akum, the Mishnah here teaches me, our Mishnah, that there's a way that you can have Son Barzel if the person's a Jew, the financier. But if that you can't do, but there is a way you could do it, Son Barzel, if it's a non-Jew that you're involved with, then you could do it, Son Barzel. So he says, but if the Mishnah wants to teach me a case prohibited and a case permissible, so he says, Adatani Seif and Makabin Son Barzel and Akum, take a different case, in other words, tweak the fact pattern less and still teach me a pace and head there. Liflog with the day, I should keep the fact pattern the same that the Jew is the financier. He says, but Menorim Lo Kabbalah owns the Bezola. If you're saying it's still called Son Barzel, even if the financier, you know, accepts upon himself losses, so then there is a way to do behead there. About Kabbalah Mara owns the Bezola, Shapir Dam. So Elamara, rather, Rabbi says, Idi Lo Kabbalah Mara owns the Bezola. So scratch that shot that Abaye says. In other words, in no case, Son Barzel is that the one, the financier, is not accepting liability for any loss. That's it. But so what's the difference between the two Mishnayot? The Gabi Bechorot, Hainu Tam, the blood of Truman Bechora. So it really, everything should belong to the one who's, you know, on the receiving end of it. He says, the Gabi Bechorot, Hainu Tam, the blood of Truman Bechora, came into Loyai Vizuzay, if the Jew doesn't give the goy the money that's due and owing to him. In other words, they enter into a relationship, and this you'll have to be the non-Jew. But like, I give 100 sheep, I'm the non-Jew, I give 100 sheep to Seth, you'll be the Jew. I give 100 sheep to Seth, and we work it out, you know, each sheep is worth one sella, and so I expect at least 100 selling back, and then we're going to split the profits. So he says, but if you don't, you're not forthcoming with the money that's due and owing to me. So he says, Aki Nafri, Papi Slal, the Behema. So I'm going to come over, in other words, I'm the financier. So I'm going to come over. I'm going to start grabbing animals. That's my money. And if I can't find the behemoths that are due and owing to me, so I'm going to grab the blood of the offspring. So the goy is involved with the behemoths. So in economy, that you're right, under normal circumstances, I would think it's the recipient's property. But here, since the goy could come and retrieve it, or, you know, and will retrieve it if there's some financial difficulties. So it's Yad Nachri Be'emsa, and mainly that's why the Mishnah of Bechorot says that the animals, even the blood, are patur from the Din of Bechorot.
It's still Son Barzel,
but since the goy retains the right to come and seize it. Right, but, yeah, go ahead.
The Jew, isn't the Jew also able to go and take the...
So again, if it's with the Jew, then obviously it would be fighting before. In other words, the question is before the first animal that's born to the animal goes to the Kohen. But we were saying if there's a goy involved, so here I have a goy on one end and a Jew on the other end. So I would think it should be chayim before. But the Mishnah says not. So why not? So the Gemara says, because the goy isn't out of the picture. He can come in and re-enter the picture and sees them.
Then it's not considered sewn barzel.
No, that is sewn barzel. It is sewn barzel. But not the fact that it's sewn barzel. I mean, sewn barzel, it's not a self-enforcing mechanism. In other words, it's sewn barzel. I'm not supposed to lose money. I'm supposed to get profits. But I expect full compliance from you. But if you're not fully complying, I'm going to self-help and start seizing things that I think should belong to me.
Okay, let me just, you're not supposed to enter in sewn barzel between two Jews.
Right, that's correct.
Because it's interest.
Because it's really
risk is all on one person.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And this is.
And he's giving back more money, right?
So why couldn't you say also that it's not really sewn barzel in that case either? Because the Jews become the one who put up the money come and take the animals also.
No, but in the words, if he's taking the animals to enforce the terms of the agreement, in other words, I'm sticking by the sewn barzel agreement, but you're not complying with our terms of our agreement. I'm just trying to enforce the existing agreement.
In that case, the risk would not be.
In other words, the risk, everything, the risk is everything is the same. It's just I'm trying to enforce our agreement. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Now the next piece of the Gemara. We've learned in the Mishnah that you're allowed to lend money to a goy with interest and borrow money from a goy with interest. So we're going to see in the Gemara that on a Drabbanan level, the Gemara learns you're not allowed to lend money to a goy with interest. But we'll see. We'll get into it a little more tomorrow as well. Okay, so let's look back in the Gemara now.
The resolution.
What?
What's the resolution?
All right, wait 20 lines and then come back, okay? Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Mar behono b'neshech b'tarbit l'chonin d'alim yichatzenu. So the pasuk, the verse in Mishlei, the book of Proverbs says, if a person accretes wealth through interest, he says, l'chonin d'alim yichatzenu, like the one who has grace on the poor people will gather together, meaning you're going to lose your wealth. So my l'chonin d'alim, what is l'chonin d'alim? I'm a Rav doing Shavur Malka. Like Shavur Malka, everything always ends up with Persia. Yeah, everybody, what? It's here. It's Persia. Anyway, so it says here, three lines before it gets wide. Shavur Malka, Melech Parasaya, he was a king in Persia, Benotel Mamon Yisrael, he would seize money from the Jews, B'chonin Behem Dalim Nachrim, Kim Dalim in a mitzvot. He would give the money to Dalim Nachrim, and he wants to say they're called Dalim because Dalim in a mitzvot. In other words, like redistribute wealth, not necessarily the poor. But they're called like poor mitzvah because that's the way you would do it. So the Gemara says, so back in the Gemara, so Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li Huna, so Rav Nachman says, Rav Huna said to me, Lo nitzrecho el dafilu ribit dovei kol kavim. So Rav Huna says that the pasuk is referring to even the interest from a non-Jew. So in other words, the Jew lends money to a non-Jew, which our mission said you're allowed to do, but the pasuk is saying it's not going to work out well for you, even if you lend money to the non-Jew. Now, you'll see him tomorrow, the Gemara is going to say that we don't want the Jew to be involved with the non-Jew, to learn from him.
Are you reading this again? Lo nisrecho?
In other words, the pasuk was necessary. In other words, lo nisrecho, where is it? Lo nisrecho el dafilu ribet dovei kol kavim. The pasuk was necessary to teach me that even the interest that I get from goyim, I'm gonna lose that wealth. And it was not good. That's what I'm saying. Okay, now. Eifei Rava l'Rav Nachman. The Rava is posing a question to Rav Nachman. It says in Parshas Ki Tetzei, Lanachri Tashich. Lanachri Tashich. Tashich is hifil. So it means, if I translate it, I can cause the non-Jew to accept interest. So it's either that I could pay interest to him or I'm going to... No, this is the other way around. In other words, Tashich is hifil. I'm causing him to take interest. So Lanachri Tashich. So I'm causing the non-Jew, I'm the borrower, the Jew is the borrower, I'm causing the non-Jew to take interest, or is the mitzvah of me to give it to him? So my tashich, lav, tishoch. So what does the word tashich mean? Is it not tishoch? He says tishoch, meaning that the Gemara wants to say that you could take interest from the goy. So in other words, la'nachri tashich, if it means tishoch, then the Torah is saying that I could take interest from the non-Jew. So how can you darshan out that I can't? So this is lo tashich. No, it means I can't cause the goy to give. I should give interest to the goy. So lo sagi lav hachi. So what is a mitzvah that I should give? That in other words, the Torah has to tell me that
I shouldn't give interest to the non-Jew. Is in other words, says La Puki Achicha Delo. So he's saying that, in other words, with the Jew, in other words, is in other words, or he went to La Puki Achicha Delo. In other words, Marachrit Hashich to the goy, I should give interest. In other words, I'm allowed to give, if I'm the borrower, the Jewish borrower, I can give interest to the goy. So the Gemara says, so the Torah has to tell me I can give interest to the goy. Why would I think that I can't give interest to the goy? So the Gemara says, as a contradistinction to your fellow Jew, you're not allowed to give interest to. So he says, so I don't need the Torah to have this other pasuk about the goy, because the Torah says, don't give interest to a Jew. So I know that to a non-Jew, I could give interest. Why does it have to say, teach me that if I give interest to the Jew, I'm over not only on a lav or lachicha lo tashich. Not only over a lav, but I'm also over an essay, an Easter essay. In other words, the lav is lachicha lo tashich. I shouldn't give interest to the Jew. I'm over on that lav, and then I'm over on an Easter essay. Is lanachri tashich. I could give interest to the non-Jew, but there's an Easter essay to give an interest to the Jew. Okay, so now, so it means like this. So Rav Nachman is positing that I'm not allowed to lend money to a goy with interest. And we asked a question on him from that pasuk lo tashich. We said, lo tishoch, the lanachri tashich, we saw lanachri tishoch, that you could take interest to the goy. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. It means I could pay interest to the goy. So Eifei, so a rabbi asked another question to Rav Nachman. Our mission says Mefurash that you could lend money to a goy and similarly a ger toshav for interest. So Rav Chiya Bered Rav Huna says that the Mishnah is referring to a case where it's, you need it like to subsist, make enough money to live. On the top line in the Gemara, Bechdechayav. So, in other words, this is all Drabanan. On a Daraisa level, you definitely can lend money to the goy. But the Gemara here is introducing this idea that on a Drabanan level, I shouldn't lend money to the goy. And the first Hezbollah the Gemara has, hope you're listening to this, Ruth. There's going to be a question quiz later. Ruth, are you listening? Lift up your hand if you're listening. Okay. So the top line says, what Rashi said, they permitted to lend money to the goy, but just for whatever you need to subsist. Because Dilma Ati the Mistrach, we're afraid that you'll come, I think, maybe to engage with this, like lending money for interest more, or maybe, I don't know if he means like learn from the joy. Mistrach is what has translate? One second. Yeah, we'll do it from Jewish borrowers. In other words, if I start lending money interest, I'm afraid I'll get involved with interest, I'll lend the Jews with interest. Ravina Amar, Ravina has a different Hasbro. The Mishnah that permits lending money to a goy is something about Tamid HaChacham. In other words, a Tamid HaChacham has a green light to lend money to the goy. Everybody else is prohibited on a Rabbanan law. Tamamai Gaz Rabbanan. Why did the Tamim, why would it go there? Shem Yul Movi Nasav. Because we're afraid that, in other words, if I'm involved with the goyim, I'm going to learn from their conduct. You know, like I go to their house, I see whatever, you know, whatever's going on there, and I start learning from the master. So I want to reduce interaction with the goyim. The cave of Tamil Chakam, who lo yul mobi masav. Since he's a Tamil Chakam, he won't learn from him. Let's see Rashi, Ravina Amar, Manit Tani Malvin, a Tamil Ribbit, Tamil Chakam Askinan. Okay, so the Gemara gave two Hezbeirim. So again.
Can you just review
that? Okay, so the Gemara is saying on a Daraisa level, you're allowed to lend money to a goy for interest. And that's clear. But on a Drabana level, you're not allowed to lend money to a goy for interest. So the Gemara gave two reasons why there should be an Issur Drabanan to lend money to the goy. So reason number one is that the Chachamim, and when the Mishnah says you can lend money to them, it's according to the first Hezber, it's only Bechtei Chayav, just enough to get by. In other words, you need the money, so just sustain yourself, you can lend. Why not more? Because we're afraid you'll come to lend interest to Jews. In other words, it'll be all over the place. So just do the minimum you need to do and then get out of it. That's the first Hezber. The second Hezber is when the Mishnah says you can lend money to Goyim, it's referring to a Tamid Chacham. Why should everybody else be prohibited? Because we're afraid if you lend money to the goyim, you're going to learn from the way they act, and it'll rub off on you. So you got to cut back on the interaction with the goyim, and then. But the Talmid Chacham, we assume, knows how to kind of navigate himself. Yeah, we won't sell off with that. All right. Let me just do a little story, and then. Yeah, so paying them, we learned, it sounded like if you need the money, it sounded like he says, Lana free tashif. It sounded like that didn't sound like it was an Easter. That's the way it sounded. That sounded like that was okay. That's the way it sounded like here. Okay, let's get back to the worm. Now,
wait, why is one of those reasons not Ava? I asked this many times ago, and I still don't understand.
Wait, say again loudly. You're freezing up every now and then.
That we're positing different reasons for why it's prohibited on a Durabanan level to lend to the Gayim, right?
And he's going Durabanan.
I understood.
That's correct.
Why is Ava not one of those reasons? In other words, the Gayim see that we lend to Jews for no ribbis and we lend to the Gayim for ribbis. That's going to make them angry at us. And that's given as a reason other places in Shas.
In Europe, they didn't lend money with interest from goy to another goy. So I don't know with Ava. I don't know, Fern. I'm going to pass on that question. Okay, now.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, now. Okay, on today's daf, we find the punishment for one who lends money for prohibited interest is he loses his capital. Rabbi Yechiel Michal Stern Shlita tells a fascinating story regarding this. A certain man made his living from prohibited interest. Although he initially accrued a vast fortune of ill-gotten gains, it was not too long before tragedy struck. One of his biggest clients lost everything he had and had no hope of repaying even the principal of his loan. This default was a big blow to his creditor, since he lent a lot of his fortune to the now bankrupt businessman. When local Rav noticed this man complaining that he now had even less capital than when he had begun his business, Rav looked at him in a marked manner and told him in a parable. One time, a fierce lioness learned that her cub was caught in a hunter's trap. The mother was inconsolable and could not even sleep because of her loss. A bear approached the lioness and said, "I really do not understand why you are so upset by this. How many children have you hunted down? It was your lion. So how many mothers have you bereaved by your prowess? When this kind of sorrow finally lands on your doorstep, why should you be so inconsolable? Same can be said to you," the Rav explained. "I know many people who have been ruined financially because of the forbidden interest they were required to pay you to borrow the money that they required. How many people have been unable to sleep because of you throughout your business career? Why should you be so upset that what's finally happened to you?" All right, that's what I have with this. All right, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Let me end the...